Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Happy to be out tonight. Amen.
Amen.
Let's all stand. Let's bow our heads before Him as prayer. Precious Heavenly Father, Lord, it's such a joy and just such a privilege, Lord, to be back in Your temple this night, Lord, and we're just so thankful. Lord, never want to fail to be thankful, Lord, for all You've done for us. Lord, we just appreciate You meeting us here once again, Lord. Where two or three are gathered, there Your Holy Spirit will be. Lord, we just love and appreciate You this night. Have Your way in everything that's said and done. We'll give You all the glory and honor that's due unto You. In the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we ask and pray. Amen. You may be seated. I'd like to turn our page, only believe, page 28. Fill my way every day with love. Amen. Let me walk, blessed Lord, in the way Thou hast gone, leading straight to that land above, giving cheer everywhere to the sad and the lone. Fill my way every day with love. Oh, fill my way every day with love. As I walk with that heavenly dove, let me go. Such a privilege and honor for Him to be housed inside these flesh bodies. Amen. Page 381, same book. This world is not my home. Amen. This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckoned me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Oh Lord, You know I have no friend like You. If heaven's not my home, then Lord, what would I do? The angels beckoned me from heaven. I can't feel at home in this world anymore. true that is. Yeah. Amen. The saints on every hand are shouting victory. Amen. Amen. It's going to be a noisy place.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Because they know what he's done for them.
Amen.
I want to try this song on page 195 in the same book. 195. Amen. Behold, what manner of man is this who stills the raging sea? He heals the sick, the lame, the halt, and makes the blind to see. He opens all the prison doors and sets the captives free. Behold, what manner of man is this? What manner of man is he? Lord of glory, he is the great I am, the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. His name is Counselor, the Prince of Peace, the Everlasting Father. Thankful. Hallelujah.
Yes,
just amen. Praise his holy name this night for everything he's done for me.
Amen.
Amen. Brother Kevin, would you mind taking up the offering? Brother Ginsel? Good, brother.
Truly, Lord, how great thou art. Yes. Lord, it is a thanksgiving in our hearts tonight to know that, Lord, we serve a living God. A God that knows everything about us, knows what we're going through, knows our situation, knows where the finish line is, and has already promised he'll make us get to that finish line one day. And, Lord, I just pray that, Father, in our hearts, we just have a praise and a worship tonight. Lord, just so thankful for what you've done for us. pray tonight, Lord, that you just bless this offering, that it be used for the upbuilding of thy kingdom. And bless our brother as he brings forth the word. Lord, may each and every one of us sit attentively.
Amen.
Laying aside the cares of life, Lord, open up the channel that, Lord, we could receive revelation from you. That you could draw us closer to you and have a walk closer with you and a greater love in our hearts for you, Lord, tonight.
Yes.
And we just pray to just bless the remainder of the service. In Jesus Christ's name we pray.
Amen. Sing that little chorus. I am determined. I've made up my mind.
Amen.
Oh, I am determined. I've made up my mind. I'll serve the on our heart tonight, both raising our hands. Amen. Just keep it on your heart. We ask Brother Settles if you'd take the request. Amen. Be seated.
Appreciate you.
Amen. Anybody got a song in their heart tonight or a special? Group special?
Amen.
Anybody at all? Amen. Let's all stand. So we ask our brother to come tonight. Let's sing out a little chorus, Mercy Rewrote My Life. Amen. Oh, mercy rewrote my life. Amen. Of mercy rewrote my life. I should have fallen. My soul passed down, but
your life. Amen. Glory to his name. Are you happy tonight? Amen. Glad to be gathered around the precious word of God. Amen. You know,
This may seem like a very, very simple little text, but you know, I feel like Brother Pitts tonight. I've been on the road for 2 hours to get here, and I'm a traveling preacher tonight. But you know, all the way home, I didn't really know what I was going to bring, and I've been had some things on my heart all week, and I'm praying today, and just say, Lord, and you know, you start down the road, and boy, just in a short time, all these scriptures kind of come to me, and just thinking of what God's trying to do for saints. In the age in which we live, there's got to be a reality. And that's what God's trying to show us. And I just pray that tonight you're not going to hear nothing new. And it's just God's simple word. But if it'll just build a little more, one more step into our heart to help us begin to grasp what God's trying to show us. Oh, I pray it'll do something for us. It may be, it's very simple. It's God's word. It's inspired. But you know, you go and you hear other people minister, and you look and you see the mighty gifts that they have to minister with. But I'm not here to be an entertainer. I'm just simply here to live for Jesus Christ. Amen. And I believe each and every one of us was sent here for that purpose, and that's the desire of our hearts. Amen. And as we do what God gives us to do, ability to do with, that's what we're going to do. Amen. But while we're standing, let's bow our heads for a moment of prayer. Lord, we are so thankful. Lord, just to be able to come and together under your presence. And Lord, to feel you moving in our hearts. Lord, we're just a small group here, Lord. And as we gather in here, Lord, we gather as individuals. And Lord, I'm just praying that each one of us as an individual, Lord, can find that place that you're trying to draw us to. Lord, that we would live exactly the way you want us to live in this last age. And Lord, we'd be a people that would truly be a reflection of Jesus Christ. Lord, the Holy Ghost living in a people and manifesting forth through our lives. That Lord, we would truly be a testimony for you. And Lord, as we've gathered this evening, we just humbly ask that you would take these few words you've laid upon my heart. And Lord, may it stir our hearts in some way. May it be helpful, Lord, to help us climb another rung closer to you. And Lord, we just want to give you our all. We want you to have the full preeminence in our lives. And Lord, we'll never fail to give you the glory and the honor for it all. In the lovely, precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we ask these things. Amen. While you're still standing, let's turn our Bibles over to Matthew. Amen. And read here in Matthew, the 8th chapter. Amen. Truly enjoy what the Lord is doing for us. And you know, if you, I pray we've all been paying real close attention as our pastor's been bringing what the Lord has laid upon his heart. And you know, just asking the Lord to continue to keep opening our hearts and to open our eyes to what God has for us. But here in Matthew, the 8th chapter, and we're going to read the, start about the 5th verse. Amen. And when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came to him a centurion, beseeching him, saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. And Jesus said unto him, I will come and heal him. And the centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that thou should come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. For I am a man under authority. Having soldiers under me, I say to this man, go, and he goeth. And to another, come, and he cometh. And to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. And when Jesus heard it, he marveled and said unto him that followed, verily I say unto you, I have not found so great a faith, no, not in Israel. And I say unto you that many shall come from the east and west, and shall sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the children of the kingdom shall be cast into outer darkness, and there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And Jesus said unto the centurion, go thy way, and as thou hast believed, so be it done unto thee. And his servant was healed the selfsame hour. May the Lord bless the reading of his word, and you may be seated. Amen. I want to focus just a little bit in the scripture there. For he knew he was a man under authority. And we're coming to a time, saints, where all of God's word must be made manifest. And Jesus, we know Brother Branham taught us he was that first sheaf that came to full maturity and it was waved back over the people. And each one of us has got to come to a full maturity, a fullness, the stature of Christ, that life living in us. Amen. But as we face life's troubles and all of that God has placed, how this word should be building that confidence in us. And you've got to stop and look at how our pastor's been bringing what he's been bringing and think about it and keep it fresh in your mind. That on conditions, and the conditions had to be met. And first, and let's just go back in the scripture and just look at some examples. And we're going to turn to Joshua, the first chapter. And while you're turning, we can also think of Moses. I'm not going to read it, but there was Moses, met God at the burning bush and commissioned him. Told him to go down to Israel, to Egypt, and to bring Israel out. And you know, Moses went down there with a staff in his hand. And oh my, he only spoke as God told him to speak. Yes, and he followed exactly the leadership of God through each thing. When it was time for flies, the flies came forth. Amen. When it was time for fleas, they were there. Yes. When it was frogs, there they came. And when they stood before that Red Sea and all the people was murmuring, he just said, stand still and see the salvation of God. Amen. And then waters rolled back. God showing them, proving forth that to follow his plan and his leading. And it started clean back here, God using people. Amen. He gave Moses the authority to go down there and do what he done. Amen. And he placed within Moses everything he would need for that job to get it completed. And then we come up to Joshua, and I just want you to, as God spoke to Joshua here in the first chapter, in the first verse, he says, now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise and go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give them, even to the children of Israel. In every place the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you. As I said unto Moses, from the wilderness and this Lebanon, even to the great river, the river Euphrates, and all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea toward going down to the sun shall be your coast. And there shall not be any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. And as I was with Moses, so will I be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. And I want you to think, there's Joshua's marching orders. He had been instructed in what his purpose was. Yes. And what he was to do. Amen. With the authority that no man will stand before you. Amen. I want you to think of that in Joshua's heart and burn it in his heart. And then here in Joshua the 10th chapter. Amen. When God prepares the heart, he prepares the man for whatever the work may be, whether you be a preacher, whether you be a deacon, whether you be a song singer or just plain laity. God prepares each one of us for the work that he's got for us to do. Amen. And God's here to have a people, some's going to be housewives, some's going to be husbands, some's going to be children, some's going to be fathers, grandfathers. But God's got a purpose for all these different ages and purposes to bear forth one thing, that Jesus Christ is alive and living in a people. And that what he said he would do, he'll do exactly that. And here in the 10th chapter of Joshua, we find here, we'll start about the 13th verse, or about the 11th verse. And it came to pass, as they fled from before Israel, and they were going down to, that the Lord cast down great stones from heaven upon them, and they died. And they were more which died with the hailstones than they whom the children of Israel slew with the sword. And we realize here what was happening. The enemy was fleeing, but God had told Joshua to kill every one of them and not to stop. And it said, and then spake Joshua to the Lord in the day when the Lord delivered up the Amorites before the children of Israel. And he said in the sight of Israel, sun stand still, and thou upon Gibeah, and thou moon in the valley of Elon. And the sun stood still, and the moon stayed until the people avenged themselves upon their enemies. Is it not written in the book? So the sun stood still in the midst of the heaven and hasted not to go down about a whole day. But here stood Joshua in the midst of a trial, we'll so say. And there he is with a need. It was on his heart. And he knew what God had told him to go do. There wasn't nowhere do you see in the scripture where there was whining around looking for this or that. But with an authority burning in his heart, he was sent for a purpose and he knew why God had sent him. Amen. And he didn't get down and have an all-night prayer meeting. But he just simply spoke to that son. Knowing that God had told him to do and marching in the line of duty, he spoke to that sun and that moon, and they stopped right there. Amen. Was that Joshua doing that? No, that was God working through Joshua to prove that he was obligated to his word. Yes, and we have all of this word laying before us. And if you turn over, let's go to Mark, the 11th chapter, I believe it is. Amen. Mark 11. Let's see here. And now let's look at Jesus. So we see what he did in the Old Testament through men, the God above us. And we see what was taking place. Now God is with us. And let's look at, our pastor just has read these things. But just keep it in mind as we begin to read. But just to have it fresh, 11th chapter, 12th verse. And on the morrow when they were come from Bethany, he was hungry. And seeing a fig tree afar off, having leaves, he came, if he happily might find anything thereon. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for the time of figs was not yet. And Jesus answered and said, No man eat figs of these hereafter forever. And his disciples heard it. And when they came to Jerusalem, Jesus went, and let me drop down now, and he said, and he taught them, saying, It is not written, My house shall be called of all nations the house of prayer, but ye have made it a den of thieves. And on down to the 20th verse. And in the morning, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter, calling to remembrance, saith unto him, Master, behold the fig tree which thou cursed is withered away. And Jesus answering saith unto them, Have faith in God. I want you to look at the steadfastness that was there. Just look how he moved. That same God is dwelled in a people by his Holy Spirit. Taken control of a people in this last age. And what's he done? He said he would fortify her with his word. He sent a prophet in this last age to bring and tie all those loose ends together. To take us back to the faith that was first originally delivered to the saints. But in Jesus here showing, as he lived out his life, and there's many, many examples we can go to. I think, let me see here. Mark the 4th chapter, if you want to back up just a little bit. Amen. Mark the 4th chapter, the 35th, the 41st verse. Amen. And that same day, when even was come, he saith unto them, Let us pass over unto the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship. And there were also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they woke him up, and said unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose, and he rebuked the wind, and said unto the sea, Peace be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, Why are you so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? And I want you to think about this. He said that he would give us his peace that passes all understanding. So there's got to be a people in this last age that no matter what the circumstances of life are happening around them, what hard and hot, fiery trial they're going through, there's got to be a peace in their heart, a steadfastness, a solidness that, Lord, I know you're going to take me through this. We're talking about seeing this word become living in us. Seeing it become a reality to us. Not something we read about, something we quote, and something we keep telling others about. But something that's taking us completely over that others can truly see it manifesting and living out through us. In a reality that God is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And he proves all his words. Not one of them goes void. And you know, as we turn over, let's go ahead and turn over here to Mark, the 16th chapter. And read a very familiar little scripture. Let me make sure I got that right. I'm sorry, I wrote that down wrong. Just one moment. Oh, I'm in Luke, that's why. Amen. Let's go to Mark 16 and 17. No. Brother Branham quoted the scripture, and he said, and our pastor read it not long ago, but you said this was the identification of a scripture Christian. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, and he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, and he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues, and they shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. And they shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Now, you know, God's word is still the same today. God is still able to do each and every one of those things. And God is here to prove all of his word. But there's got to be a people rise on the scene that their life is so centered to this precious word. That it's not just gifts happening. And it's not just shouting taking place, but there's a steadfastness to the word, and the word is living out through them. And you know, Jesus Christ, here in the message, Perfect Faith. Amen. And we'll get there in just a minute, but since we're talking about Jesus, he said, remember they had the word and the word was flesh. He's talking about the disciples. This is paragraph 63 in Perfect Faith. And he told them, I give you power. And they had the power, but they didn't have the faith to operate the word that was in them. And how, as our pastor's been bringing, how we should be crying out for revelation more than anything else in this life. Because how we can see, we've got the word is laying here. We can tell you what it said. We can tell you what it should do. We can tell you how a wife should be under subjection to her husband. A husband should love his wife. We can quote all of these words from A to Z. But there's got to be something take place in our hearts and our lives that becomes a written epistle read of all men from our lives to the outside, not just telling somebody. Amen. It's got to become that reality. And as he says here, he says, see what I mean? Jesus had it. He was the word, and he had faith that what he said would happen. Oh, bring him here. How long will I suffer you? He had faith with his power. How did he? He said, I can do nothing in myself. Why? He relied upon what he was. He relied in knowing that he was the word, and he had faith in God who made him the word, and he was God the word, and they was in him, and that gave him faith because he understood his position. And what's our the scriptures and quotes that our pastor's been bringing back to our remembrance. If you have confidence towards God, if our heart condemns us not, we know what the word said the baptism of the Holy Ghost would do in a man and woman's life. We know that. Yes. But if we can't see that happening, we'll never have that faith in our hearts and lives to fulfill that word. Amen. We'll make excuses why it can't happen, and we'll go do all kinds of things. But Jesus Christ had faith in what the word said he was because he could look back and see what was prophesied of him to do and see everything that has been prophesied he fulfilled, and it was manifested in his life. Amen. And he had confidence in that. He knew because the scripture said he was this. And here every scripture tied in to prove that he was exactly what the scripture said he would be. And he knew what he was. Therefore, he relied upon what God had made him. And if he did that, then can't we rely upon what God has made us as believers? Now, it's easy, as our pastor's been showing us, to say we're believers. But we've got to take the simplicity of God's word to heart. And truly be able to understand that God's word has the authority and its full power. And what it says, that's exactly how it's got to be. And if it's showing us where we're standing, and God has given us a gracious opportunity to come and have this word revealed to us, and to set under the anointing of the Holy Spirit and have God dip it into our hearts what we have need of. Amen. And you know, but that authority that comes only from the word being made manifest in our life, that's what brings that boldness to come boldly before the throne of grace. Knowing that my sins have been forgiven, I'm covered under that precious blood, and I am overcoming. When we can see all of these things taking place in our life, it begins to bring that authority into our heart. And an assurance that it's been coming, how we need that in our hearts and our lives. How many people pray, and how many people try to cast out devils? How many people just try to live this word, and they can't? They can't make it happen because they haven't went back and took the prescription that was laid down and took all of this word, cell upon cell, and let it be built into their hearts. They want to take pieces. They want to take parts. But they won't take the full word, and we're not exempt from that. It's got to be a people that's fully surrendered to every word God's got for us in this last age. We must let it take hold in our hearts and in our lives if we want to see the results of what God can do in this last day. If we want to see those results of a people, he said if they ever put forth another body of believers, they would write another book of Acts behind it. If we want to see those actions, not just people being raised from the dead, not just all these mighty things that happened, but lives that was lived. Think about it. They took notice of Peter and John, that they had been with Jesus. They wanted to be in their shadow. They didn't need to go around. Look at Paul as he was in the jail with the jailer. Look at all their lives, how it was magnified out through them. Is our life that salty? Are we that salty that it can truly be seen that there is something different about us and something real, not just people that's walking around claiming to all believe all of this? You can look at all the denominations, the Pentecostals, the Baptists, the Methodists. They go around, they carry this, and they tell everybody what it can do for them. But they don't have no manifestation of that anything has happened in their life. And we can become that same way, that we don't have anything expressing. We tell people we're message believers and we're following Brother Branham, but that's all they see from it. But what about a living word of God that was expressed in this last day? God spoke to the individual's heart, and it should be bringing forth results, bringing forth a manifestation, showing us. There should be a joy in our hearts. All of these things, we don't have to pump people to get them to praise the Lord. We don't have to prime people to try to get them to come to church. You don't have to pat them on the back and ask them to do this and you'll make them this or that. We don't have to do those things. If Jesus Christ is on the center of the heart, there's a longing in their heart. That's what they're longing for. That's what their drive is for. It changes and it pushes them to it. Nobody has to browbeat them and try to make them this or that. Oh my, there's a love in their heart. There's something changing. He will teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance. And oh, as we go through life, as our brother said, as he was mentioning Sunday, are we sure that everything we're doing is right, or have we okayed it in our own mind and said it's okay? But we want to go back to this word. We want to know with an assurance that we can stand with true authority in our hearts and in our lives and know I'm marching exactly to the tune of God's beat. That's what we want to see. We want to be able to look back. Amen. Amen. Think of Enoch and the authority that must have been in his life. It doesn't say he did great miracles or anything, but he had this testimony before his translation that he pleased God. Yes, he did. Oh, if you can just have that in our hearts, that we know without a shadow of a doubt that's burning in my heart and in my life, that I'm being led by the Spirit. I'm not moving. I'm not going anywhere, but I can see that prisoner ship taking place in my heart and in my life, how it ought to just melt me down and make a reality in my heart and life. Yes. In your heart and life, saints. We've went to church for a long time, but the time has come when there's got to be a reality to this. Yes. We see so many people, and you know, Jesus just spoke the word and it happened. Amen. Oh, just because there wasn't no doubt, he was in the Spirit, he knew. Brother Branham said, like people coming in the prayer line, and we've heard it quoted, the same faith without a vision will produce the same thing. And how our faith ought to be built up, how we've been a people that's been around this, our lives should be a reflection of this word. We should be a people that's coming to that maturity, the fullness of the stature of Christ. We're not becoming full of age sons and daughters of God, where it's a reality, not something that's been lost and something that's talked about in times past. Jesus did this and this used to happen back in the Spirit moved there and the Spirit used to move there. What's wrong with today? Amen. Why is the Spirit not moving today in my heart and life? When was the last time you can truly say you got under the anointing and worshiped the Lord? Maybe you was shouting and just crying and praising God. Where's that at? That should still be. There should still, that same anointing is still here, but what's wrong? We're not getting in the Spirit, and we're not getting in tune with God. We're staying too far back. We're not pressing in. Some, that's all they want. That's all they can see is just, oh, let's shout and jump and praise God. That's all we need. But it's got to be the both together. We're looking for the full age that's got to come in this last age. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Let's just read this here in the Message, the Rising of the Sun. Very, very familiar. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Start here about, we'll drop down about paragraph 96. Hallelujah, I sure you see what I'm talking about. It was waved over the first people. And the first time there will come forth the bright age from a resurrection of dark denomination will be a message that the full maturity of the word has turned back again in its full power, being waved over the people by the same signs and wonders that he did back there. And I want you to look what happened there and then think about the Apostle Paul. Even as the snake come out of the embers, and we can read it real quick. Let's just, that's in Romans, the 16th, book of Acts 16, I believe. Paul, knowing what the word had said, knowing where he was standing with the Lord, and he could see what God had sent him to do. Amen. I know I wrote that down here. Amen. Amen. Maybe I didn't write that down. Let's go to Acts 28. There it is. Let's try that. Acts 28, maybe that's where it's at. Yeah, 28th verse there. And it's 28th chapter, the first verse in the book of Acts. And when they were escaped and they knew that the island was called Malaita, and the barbarous people showed us little to no kindness, for they kindled a fire and received us, every one, because of the present rain and because of the cold. And when Paul had gathered a bundle of sticks and laid them on the fire, there came a viper out of the heat and fastened onto his hand. And when the barbarians saw the venomous beast that hang on his hand, they said among themselves, "No doubt this man is a murderer, whom though he escaped to the sea, yet vengeance suffereth not to live." And he shook the beast off into the fire and felt no harm. And just look at that. Paul didn't get excited. He was just living. He saw it. He shook it off into the fire and went on about his way. Why? Because God was using that. Howbeit they looked when he should have swollen or fallen down dead. But after they had looked a great while and saw no harm come to him, they changed their minds and said that he was a god. I want you to look what God can do in a people's hearts and lives. If they're following God's leading, God is a God of action. He's there to fulfill his word. He wants to prove his word. Amen. Healings are not beyond his reach. Right. Overcoming trials, yeah. All of these things we face, God is more than able to conquer them. Yes. And we're more than able through him to overcome. By his grace, we are what we are, as we read the last time. But look what this word should be doing in our hearts and lives as it's meshing. Not just mechanics only and not just dynamics over here. But as Brother Branham goes on to say here in the message, it is the rising of the sun. He says, full maturity, the word has turned back again in its full power and being waved over the people by the same signs and wonders that he did back there. Because I live, ye live also. Speaking to his wife, because I live, you live also. What a resurrection that was, and what a resurrection this is, to be quickened from the dead, to be made alive in Christ Jesus by God's quickening power. And these are words that we've read. And everybody has read, and people get excited, and they jump, and they shout, and say, "Hallelujah, praise the Lord, oh my, and that's wonderful." But the reality of that happening in our life, that's why the word comes soberly. As the word's coming, it's showing us where and how to have that full assurance in the word. It's so easy to, you know, I can tell you I'm the mayor of the city all day long. And I can run up on downtown. I'm the mayor. I've been made the mayor. I'm the mayor. I'm the mayor. And I have no authority to do anything as the mayor. And how that makes me look silly, that makes me look. But Jesus Christ is the same way. We can go around and say we're part of his bride all day long. But if we don't have the reality of the vindication showing forth in our lives, we don't have nothing. And that's what we've seen. We've been churchgoers a long time. All of us have. But where's the reality of what God can do in our hearts and our lives? Well, I remember one time I got under the anointing and he really blessed me and I did this for God. I remember one time he led me down there to pray for Sister So-and-so. I remember one time I took groceries down here to somebody else. One time, what about today? What's God doing today in our hearts and in our lives? It may not be that. It may be the simple things. But a life lived is worth a thousand words. It's a wife that's at home praying. It's a husband that's doing his duties and raising his family correctly. It's all of the word gelled together to bring a reality that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And that there is a people on this earth that's living that forth. But it's got to be a reality. Not just a going on and on and on. I believe I can have what I, when I pray, I believe I'm going to receive it. But we are receiving it and we see the results of it. Seeing the reality of God's word come alive in our hearts. Amen. It's a faith age, a revelation age, an age where that should be built up. Not just a bunch of people shouting and hollering, but there's got to be a reality to it of what God has said. You say, he say, wait a minute, Brother Branham, I know a church. Well, I do too, see. But now, for instance, if we were going back to Tucson this afternoon, each one of us, and was going to take a big Cadillac, brand new, and all the seats were made out of doe skin, softest of leather, soft and easy to sit in, and the floorboards were plush, the steering wheel were nickel-plated, had diamond studs all over it, and the engine was mechanically tested to be exactly the right engine, and the wheels were all bearings greased up, tires were all puncture-proof, blowout-free, and all had been tested scientifically. The message is laying here, the same Bible's laying on every pulpit throughout the land, the same words being read, and it looks so much alike. Think of Cain and Abel. They both worship God. They both build altars. Look at the types as it's been coming forth. You can see it taking place. But oh my, as he says, but they've been pushed off the assembly line, both of them. Both of them have been filled with the gasoline. That's the running power, the gasoline. But in it is the octane. But now when you're going to start them, although they both look just alike, but there's one of them that don't have any spark or any firing power. And you say the power is in the gasoline, Brother Branham. But I don't care how much power is in the gasoline, unless there's a spark there to manifest that power, unless there's a power there to confirm that that is gasoline, it might as just as well be water. Yes. No matter how much theologians claim and how well you got your church set, how much education you got, and how much like the Bible, until that wave sheaf, until the Holy Spirit comes upon that person to quicken that word, that gasoline represents the word, it's the truth, but without the Spirit, it won't move. We've put too much stress on the mechanics and nothing on the dynamics. It needs the dynamic power of God and the resurrection to pass that this is gasoline. It might be in a gasoline can, could still be water, see, but the only proof of it is to put the life on it, and it'll prove whether it's gasoline or not. And when you try to put the Holy Spirit in the denomination, you're as much as trying, you can't get a splutter. You'll ruin your engine, getting full of carbon. But oh, I'm so glad there is a 10,000 octane power, the Word of God. And the Holy Ghost to light it up, to resurrect the power into a man's life, a woman's life, into a church that shoved that Cadillac down the road yonder under the dynamic power of the Holy Ghost, which came back and was waved over the people at the day of Pentecost, making him the same yesterday, today, and forever. There has been churches and churches, brides, churches and brides, but there's got to come one, hallelujah. There's got to come a real bride. How many times have we heard that? How many times have we read that? But the dynamics of it to make the church live and move in the power of his resurrection until we come to that place, until we find that place, what good does it do to polish the hubs? What good does it do to give her a facelift or a Simonized job? There's no dynamics in it. No matter how much the mechanics prove right, there has got to be dynamics to make it work. And how we need God. We need to lay before him and let him break us down and mold us and take our minds away from anything that we've holding on to, anything that's keeping us, hindering us from surrendering to these precious words and saying, Lord, I want to be exactly that. Amen. Not trying to hold on. It's okay for me to hold on to this. It's okay for me to keep that. It's okay for me to do this and go there. The things that maybe Brother Branham said, if there's a question, I think it was an Enticing Spirits, preached in 1955, he said, if there's a question in your heart, if you a hint of doubt about something, don't do it. He said, stay away from it. Why? Because it'll condemn us, as our brother's been trying to show us. We know what the word says. We know exactly what God said. Maybe I don't understand something fully, but if there's a hint of doubt in my heart, how I better run away from that thing till God reveals to me exactly what I need to do or move. We need to learn to follow the leading of the Holy Spirit greater. Learn to yield to him. not just run around, we're human beings in this life, and this is just day-to-day activities, and this is what I have to do. But what's God looking for in our hearts and in our lives?
Amen.
He says, without the mechanic, you can scream and shout, jump up and down all you want to, and deny this word, and it won't do you any good. You're just cranking around the pistons. Got the spark there to fire, but no gasoline to fire it by. It'll only work as they come together. So one will set still and the other will go up. There's only one thing there is to it. Yet they both might look alike and both claim to be churches. Both claim to be bride, but one has mechanics and dynamics, and it brings it to pass. What he said is the truth. And how that's what we should be looking for in our lives. The precious word as it's coming forth is trying to get us to a place to where we can stand with full confidence. We can stand there with authority, knowing that I can look back and not just hope that I'm a Christian, not just hope that I'm a believer, but I can look back and see the results of what was said would happen in my life. And that'll bring the confidence into my heart that I can stand there and know with that assurance burning that I can ask anything in His name and I know He's going to give it to me. I know He's going to fulfill that word. But that's the reality we've lost. We pray, we ask for things. As our pastor's been trying to show us, we ask for things. We never see it come to pass because we're not seeking it for His will and His glory. But how God is here to prove today that He is just as much alive as He was in every other age. He's not asleep. He's right here among us. But the churches get cold and formal. And it's not just the group as a whole. It's an individual affair. Where's your individual fire? Where's your individual worship? Where's the praise burning from your heart that's going forth? Do we see that? I'm just asking you as a brother to brother, as I take the word to measure up my own self. What if nobody else is praising the Lord? Is it still burning in my heart? Can I still be that one that, oh, thank you, Lord, for what you've done for me? Is it still burning up in me? But, oh my, if I got to wait on somebody else to get a little excited before I get excited. Or I got to wait till somebody else says amen before I'm going to say amen. There's many things that God brings across this pulpit that we should all be saying amen to. And saying, let it be to me according to your will, Lord. And we're quiet. We never say anything. Do we believe God's word or do we not? Is there a reality to it or am I just listening to it? Because I've heard it. But where's the reality, saints? There's people all over that get excited just reading every little thing. And they don't have no life behind it. But there's a people that if you've got a life behind it and the two together, oh, what a joy we ought to have in our hearts. How that ought to propel us and make us move for the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. You sisters can come to the instruments if you would. This is in the Pergamon church age. And I didn't get the page number or paragraph. It was right before the letter to the church that our pastor has been reading out of. He says, I wonder if we sufficiently impressed with the word in our midst. Let me give you a thought here. How do we pray? We pray in Jesus' name, don't we? Every prayer is in His name and there isn't any answer. Yet in 1 John 5:14, we're told this is the confidence that we have in Him. That if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. And if we know that He heareth us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of Him. And now we ask, what is the will of God? There's only one way to know His will, and that is by the word of God. Lamentations 3:37, who is he that saith, it cometh to pass when the Lord commandeth it not? There it is. If it isn't in the word, you can't have it. So we can't ask unless it's in the word, and we can't petition or ask unless it's in His name. There it is again, Jesus, the name is the word, will. You can't separate God and the word, they're one. And this word that He has left behind on printed page is part of Him. And when you accept it by faith into a spirit-filled life, He said that His word was life, John 6:63. But that is exactly what it is, He is. John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life, Romans 8:9. If any man have not the spirit of Christ, he is none of His. There it is. He is spirit and He is life. That is exactly what the word is. It is exactly what Jesus is. He is the word. And when a spirit-born, spirit-filled man in faith takes that word into his heart and places it upon his lips, why, it's the same as deity speaking. Every mountain has to go, and Satan can't stand before that man. And if the church way back there in the third age had only held on to the revelation
of the living word in their midst, the power of God would have not had faded as it did in the dark ages. And right today, when the church returns to the word in faith, we can say without a doubt that the glory of God and that the wonderful acts of God will be done again in her midst again. And I want you to look at the word that's been coming forth and how the messages have been pulling us back to that. But how we must make sure that we're spirit-filled. We must make sure that all we meet all of these qualifications. God's word didn't lie. And God proved it through all of them different ones. Think of Paul. He just turned around. That little lady was following him. When God finally gave him permission, he just turned around and spoke the word and it was over. Look at the life that was lived back there. Look at all that was taking place. How do we compare? How do we measure up? Well, this is a whole long time later, and this is a whole new age, and things ain't going to be done like they was back there. How do you know? God is still the God. He knows what each one of us needs. He knows what's going to come down the road tomorrow. He knows what we're going to face, and he knows what it's going to take for us to shine forth a light that's a reflection of him. Not my personal attitudes, not the way I was raised, not the way I would think about doing things, but the way Jesus Christ would think about it and do it. Oh, saints, God is going to move and work in a mighty way. If we'll just yield to him, it may not be the way you expect. You may never heal anyone. You may never see anything take place in your life as this or that. We don't know, but the one thing we do know, that it's there for us. And it's the truth that's laying there. What about it? If you got a headache and you're trying to come to church and we can't get a healing for that? Look at the word that's been laying here. Look at the examples our prophet used. Of how we just let everything deter us. We let things keep us from getting here that could have been prevented. But oh my, God knows all about us. And oh my, if we'll just yield to him and follow his leading, you're going to see that authority come back into that little bride. You'll see her have that in her heart and in her life. Not for show, not that anybody will ever notice maybe, for some things. But God's going to use it in your life, your own life, for your own benefit to see it. Manifested, that word's for you. Every word in there has got to be lived and manifested and vindicated in our lives. But oh my, may we truly yield to him and be determined more than ever that, Lord, I want to be one that's a true, vindicated, manifested son or daughter of God for you. It may mean being the floor mat. It may mean I don't get to do anything but come and turn the light switch on at the church. That's all I do, Lord, is I just go over and I make sure the light switch is on. But if that's what God led me to be and to do, then let me do it with the best that's in me. Amen. For him. Yes. But oh my, may we truly just want to see him glorified. Saints, we're getting ready to get out of here. And all of God's word has come and the reality that's laying there. But we want to see the reality of it alive and living. Not just excited over healings and just excited because this happened over here and that's happened. But to see the whole thing. All the word, living, manifesting, lives surrendered to Jesus Christ, to see it taken, truly change the hearts and lives of people like he said it would. Things that we couldn't overcome in ourselves, we see it go out the door. We see things that maybe we knew somebody that, oh, that person's always been a really grouchy, grouchy soul. And all of a sudden, it ain't that way no more. God's a changer of people. And the Holy Ghost is a person. And it has a personality. And if it's on the seat of your heart, it will change your life. It'll change your actions. It'll change your thoughts. It'll change your speech. It'll change every aspect of you. And oh, we grow as calves in the stall. But as we hear that word, it'll bring our body subjects. It'll bring us in tune with God's word. But oh my, and then we can walk through life with that authority in our hearts and in our lives. As that centurion knowed. He could look and knew that he had all of Rome standing behind him. And he knew what he said, they would back him up 100%. And he knew those people were going to react to him. And that's the same faith that we should have, knowing that if there's a circumstances arise in our hearts or life, whether it be a healing, whether we need something, we should be able to go to God in prayer as our brother's been showing us and know that it's going to happen with that steadfast assurance. Not I'm worried about it. Oh, we prayed about it, but I still just don't know. No, God said to ask. And I know that I can look back into that word and I can see where I'm standing. And I know exactly I'm lining up 100%. God will bring it to pass in his time. But I'm going to wait till he brings it to pass. And I'll wait however long it takes.
But a peace is there while you're waiting, a joy, whatever it may be. But God is looking for people that it's testimonies, witnesses, genuine of that He is alive and living in a people today. Oh, may we be one of them. Amen. I don't know, simple words. But I pray that God will just continue to dip it into our hearts, saints. We're not here to live and be conformed to this world, but to be conformed to His image. And oh my, how we should begin to yield more and more to that. We can often get so busy and want to accomplish so many things that we forget what our true purpose is. But oh, may we truly let the Word focus our attention back to what God has got for us. But oh my, I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of them. Amen. There's something burning, saints. There's a challenge burning. You can feel it in your heart. You can see where He's brought us from and what He's trying to do. And I, you know, as I was praying today, I said, Lord, forgive me for being slowful at anything. But Lord, give me the desire to continue to press harder than I ever have. Amen. We don't have much time left to make sure that everything's exactly the way He wants it to be. But is that the concern of my heart, or I don't care that I'm not overcoming? I don't care that I'm still the same old person. I don't care that none of the words being fulfilled. But it's got to come down to each individual heart. What do you see? What's God pulling on your heart for? But by God's grace, we got to be determined that if one's going to raise out of here, Lord, it's going to be me by Your grace. Amen. Let's all stand if you would. Amen. Oh, saints, there's just so many things. Sometimes you wish you could be an elegant speaker and just all pour out things. But all we can only do what we're given to do. Amen. But I thank God for His mercy and grace. Amen. But you know, He's really made a change in me. He's made a change in a lot of us. But He's not through yet. By God's grace, we're going to keep yielding. And we're going to see more of Him made alive. Amen. Let's sing that little song, They That Wait Upon the Lord. Amen.
They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as an eagle.
Trust will be as, even as Paul said, he's speaking about the Roman church. He said, they that become saints. And he said that it is known throughout the world of your faith. Now think of that. Known throughout the world. Wow, what a faith they must have had. You know? And not that you want, you're tooting your horn or anything like that. It's just what God does. You know, if a people are really solid and stay straight on the Word, it'll be known all over the world. Amen. There's a true bride on this earth again. Amen. That's how we appreciate it. You know, I was thinking about worship and so forth. You know, it's and how we should feel more free to worship the Lord, you know. But and again, it's not the thing with an attitude to try to show yourself off. No, by no means. You know, because it's like, the scripture talks about the long prayer, you know, and getting up and praying this and that and the other, and they've done got the reward. But it's what they do in the closet, you know. And I think of that many times in worship. You know, do I have to come here to get in the spirit of worship and praise? But no, I can just be walking around outside. Amen. And just feel the Holy Spirit come down. And just, you just want to, oh, you just love to praise Him. You just cry and, you know, just get it out. But you just love Him and appreciate Him for what He's done. You know, oftentimes some of the greatest worship times that the prophet spoke of is when he was out there in the woods by himself. You know? And like I said, nothing, like I said, and we should worship in the house of God and praise Him. And it should be from the depths of our heart and with a love pouring out to Him. And not just be a song we're singing, but a true worship from down, deep down inside. Amen. Oh, I love Him. Appreciate Him. Let us bow our heads for a moment of prayer. Precious Heavenly Father, we are so thankful again for Your precious word. And how, Lord, every time we hear scriptures and quotes and all these great things, it just stirs us deep inside. And Father, we want to make sure that we're in tune and in line with everything You're doing. And Lord, the next step that You would take and want us to take, and Lord, maybe a move that You would do, help us, Lord, to be able to see it and catch it. Help us not to miss anything that You're doing. And Lord, there may be things that we wouldn't quite understand, maybe know, and how You're going to do it. But Lord, help us to know by revelation. Reveal to us, Lord, every step to take and when to take it. Lord, will truly be those people that are led by the Spirit of God and not led by man and led by things, Lord, of circumstances and, Lord, problems and cares of life, but led by the Holy Spirit in everything, Lord Jesus. So we appreciate this opportunity You give us tonight, and it's been such a blessing and such a wonderful peace, Lord. We are so appreciative. We ask now that You would again just go with us and just watch over us, Lord, and keep us safe and bring us back the next appointed time. Again, if You should tarry, and trusting again, we'll come hungering and, Lord, longing to hear Your precious word again. So we thank You for everything again now, Father. And again, Lord, keep Your hand upon Sister Pitts. Just watch over and keep her safe. And Lord, continue to bless her son, Lord. Oh, God, somehow may You just pull it all together and may You get the glory and praise from it, Lord Jesus. Not man, not any person, but You get the glory and praise for it. And Father, we appreciate You now. May Your will be done in our lives as we part from this little place. In Your holy name we ask, our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. I love Him.
Amen.
And let's just sing real quickly. I love Him. Do you love Him? Amen. With all your heart? Amen. I love Him. I love Him because He first loved me and purchased my salvation on Calvary's tree. Amen. God bless you. You're all dismissed.